There is always more good in the world than bad. A small stain is easier to notice on a white shirt, Sayed H. Fatimi. There is always more good in the world than bad, but we do not see it that way. A small stain is easier to notice on a white shirt. Acts of cruelty leap out at us not because they are the substance of life, but because they rupture the ordinary fabric of kindness, cooperation, and quiet decency that usually goes unseen. And yet there is another danger. Not the presence of evil itself, but the good who see it and do nothing. Beneath this tension lies something deeper. Good and evil exist not as absolutes in isolation, but as a pair, a dichotomy by which each gains definition. If all were good and nothing stood against it, how could we recognize goodness at all? Would there be degrees of good, one act more meaningful than another, or would all dissolve into sameness? Without contrast, the very word would lose its force. This is why the darker road matters. Without the possibility of cruelty, there is no weight to compassion. Without the lure of dishonesty, truth carries no courage. Without the presence of evil, goodness becomes a mechanical reflex, predetermined and hollow. To choose what is right only has meaning because we could have chosen otherwise. The dichotomy, then, is not only about recognition, but about freedom. It is what grants us choice, what allows our character to take shape. A world without opposition would be a world without will, without struggle, without the dignity of decision. Goodness, if it is to be more than habit, requires the shadow of its opposite. It is in the presence of that shadow that the act of resistance becomes luminous. Evil is contrast, not totality. Evil often feels overwhelming because of how we encounter it. A single betrayal can overshadow years of trust. One act of violence can scar an entire community. Yet this perception deceives us. Goodness is the backdrop of daily life. People share food, keep promises, raise children, tend to the sick, and offer strangers directions on a street corner. These acts rarely make headlines. They pass without fanfare, precisely because they are expected. Evil, by contrast, announces itself in rupture. It startles because it breaks the pattern. It is not the totality of the world, but the interruption of it. Just as darkness makes us aware of light, cruelty makes us aware of compassion. It is the contrast that gives moral experience its sharpness, the sudden recognition that the ordinary good we overlook is, in fact, precious. To name something evil, then, is to confess that we know good. To recoil from a stain is to affirm the value of the shirt. What horrifies us is not that evil exists, but that it reminds us of what should be normal. The silence of the good. If evil draws our attention because it ruptures the ordinary, it gains its strength in another way as well, through the silence of those who witness it. The presence of cruelty is never enough on its own to shift the course of history. What gives it power is the complacency of those who look on and choose not to act. This silence wears many masks. Sometimes it is fear, the knowledge that to speak out is to draw danger toward oneself. Sometimes it is comfort, a reluctance to disrupt the ease of one's own life for the sake of strangers. Sometimes it is despair, the belief that one voice cannot alter the weight of the world. And sometimes it is simple habit, the quiet assumption that cruelty is the way of things and therefore not worth resisting. Each mask differs, but the result is the same. Passivity becomes complicity. The stain is left to spread. To remain silent is not to remain neutral. It is to hand the stage to those who would corrupt it. The tyrant does not rule by his will alone. He rules because others obey. The abuser does not harm in secret forever. He thrives because bystanders look away. Even petty cruelties in daily life depend on the same dynamic. The whispered insult, the unjust policy, the corrupt decision, all of them persist because enough people shrug and turn aside. Hannah Arendt called this the banality of evil, that ordinary people, without malice or even conviction, become enablers of great harm simply by failing to resist. Edmund Burke put it more sharply, evil triumphs not because it is strong, but because the good do nothing. This is the harshest truth of all, that inaction is not innocence. To see and remain still is not neutrality, it is surrender. The paradox of perception and responsibility. We are caught then in a paradox. On the one hand, evil appears larger than it is, because our perception is drawn to it like the eye to a stain on a white shirt. On the other hand, we often minimize its threat in practice, convincing ourselves that the background of goodness will somehow absorb or outlast the rupture. We see clearly, but we act faintly. This gap between perception and responsibility is precisely where evil gathers strength. A single act of cruelty shocks us, but unless it provokes a response, it becomes precedent. Each unchallenged wrong teaches others what is permissible. Silence, multiplied by time, transforms the rare into the normal. The stain spreads not because it is stronger than the fabric, but because the fabric refused to resist. Here lies the irony. We recognize evil vividly when it appears, yet we often fail to recognize that recognition itself demands action. To notice a rupture is already to be implicated in it. To call something unjust is to admit that justice is possible. Perception without response is not awareness, it is abdication, the weight of goodness. If evil draws its force from rupture and from silence, goodness draws its weight from persistence and from courage. It is true that there is always more good than evil, but goodness is not self-sustaining. It does not endure by default. It endures because people choose it, again and again, often at cost to themselves. The ordinary kindness that fills most of life, meals prepared, promises kept, strangers helped, is the shirt upon which our world rests. But when that shirt is stained, it is not enough for goodness to remain invisible in the background. It must step forward. It must take shape in speech, in resistance, in the refusal to surrender the stage. Goodness gains its full meaning only when it resists. A generosity given in ease is pleasant, but a generosity offered against fear is transformative. A kindness that costs nothing is fine, but a kindness that risks something becomes a declaration. In this way, good is not measured simply by numbers, but by weight, the weight of courage, of vigilance, of standing where it would be safer to kneel. There is more good in the world than evil, but it is only when that good chooses to act that its abundance becomes strength. Without that choice, even the brightest shirt can be undone by a single spreading stain. Closing reflection. The image of the stain on the shirt lingers. Evil does not cover the fabric of the world, but when it appears, it demands attention. We notice it because it disrupts what we expect, because it reminds us that goodness is the norm, even if it is quiet. Yet noticing is not enough. The shirt will not clean itself. To live with integrity is to accept that goodness carries weight. It requires more than sympathy, more than silent agreement. It requires presence. It requires action. To witness evil and do nothing is to grant it permission. To resist it, even in small ways, is to restore the balance that allows life to remain whole. The stain is real, but so is the shirt. The choice is ours, whether we let the mark spread or whether we take it upon ourselves to keep it clean. See clearly, speak courageously, act justly.